Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will be finding common ground and taking it to the next level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. As has been said, this show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. It's my hope that you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. My guests will have differing spiritual belief systems, and some will have no spiritual beliefs. You may or you may not agree with things that are said. What I'd ask you to do is keep an open mind. This way, you can see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now, today, my special guest is Alba Molina. She's been involved in music all her life. As a little child, she learned how to play several instruments by herself, but later, as a teenager, she took formal classes at the Youth Symphony Orchestra and then at the university where she studied composition. Her music joined her passion for spirituality and the desire to help people. Therefore, almost all her songs, now 15 productions, carry the uplifting message of empowerment and appreciation and joy. For this reason, Alba became a holistic life coach with neuro-linguistic programming and a professional bilingual speaker so that she could motivate much more people through keynote concerts, workshops, and individual counseling sessions. Alba has been doing this in different cities in the U.S., in Costa Rica, and Colombia. Other professional ventures Alba has been devoted to include teaching music to kids from 2 to 18 years old, producing radio shows, broadcasting ads and documentaries, writing articles, blogs, original scripts for TV programs for kids, and she is currently writing a couple of books full of positivity and inspiration. And so now I'd like to welcome Alba Molina. Alba, how are you today?
I am doing great. Good afternoon, David, and good afternoon to all the listeners.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you with us today, Alba. I'd like to explore your spiritual journey and your journey through music and how it's evolved in your life and what that means to you. And just to let the listeners know, we'll be sharing a couple of Alba's original compositions today in which she sings the first song, I'm Flowing, and then there's a song she's written that her daughter performs, which is beautiful, called Sharing Your Dreams. So first of all, I'd like to ask you, Alba, what your religious background was like.
Well, that is kind of a long answer that I could give you, but let's see if I can find the short version of it. I grew up as
That's
a Catholic.
All right.
I grew up as a Catholic, well, as you read and as you told the people, I was born in Colombia, and that is a highly Catholic country. Now I live in Costa Rica, and it's also, there are much more Catholic people than Christian. And I grew up like that. However, life really brought me to a huge change, especially, 11 years ago. Well, the reality is at the end of 2002, I had like a huge catharsis in my life in which I basically didn't believe about anything in life. I was really down, depressed. I was saying, well, if this is life, I really don't want to live any longer. And it was definitely some kind of a death that happened inside of me. And suddenly I started to feel the biggest, strongest, most powerful, incredible love that I ever experienced. And suddenly I started to feel a message. There was a message in my heart that even though it was not with you know, words that a human being could just write down in a paper. It was a block of thought that was very clear, telling me that I was accepted exactly as I am, and that I didn't need to prove anything to anyone, that I didn't need to follow anybody else's rules, that I could really become whatever I wanted to become and to be exactly the way I wanted to be. So suddenly, a huge journey of a totally different spirituality based on unconditional love started to happen in my life, and I was in awe to see what the true meaning of that unconditional love meant. So everything has changed ever since.
Well, can you tell me what your original concept of God is? And by the way, isn't it amazing how God works in our lives when we have those deaths, little or big? And that seems to open us up to spiritual experience and opening our hearts. And it sounds like that's exactly what happened to you.
Oh, absolutely, because I think that whenever we have learned another kind of spiritual belief or set of rules in any kind of religion, suddenly we are just trying to become someone that someone else told us to do or to be, and that is not the personal experience. So I think that the concept that I had about a God before was, as I was told, first of all, a male figure that was like authoritarian figure, maybe a lot of judgment in there that I had to please, that I had to earn that love or that acceptance to feel okay. So I really tried to be all of my life a good person, maybe I should put this in quotations, to be, you know, good to the eyes or in before the eyes of everybody. And so I felt that I was okay, that I was doing my homework at being the best that I could. But that really didn't give me any happiness. I was just constantly thinking, should I, do I have to, and all of those, impositions that we allow in our lives, and I was not being happy at all.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Almost every guest I've had on the show, their early concept of God has been one of a God of judgment as opposed to a God of love. And thank goodness, many of them have come around and embraced the God that Jesus talked about for those that are Christian or have leanings in that direction. So I think that that's a wonderful thing, because if we can't embrace a God of love, then it's easy for us to get into a place of self-judgment and get down on ourselves in so many different ways. So, how has your concept of God evolved over the years?
Well, first of all, I really don't put any gender to it. I feel that it's just pure love, pure acceptance, and a sweetness that is very difficult to express with words, you know. I have felt both the energy of the female and the male, and also I have felt the energy of nothingness and everything at the same time inside of me. And so suddenly I feel this connection to the entire universe and the connection with this entire creation, physically speaking, and also a connection to the non-physical realm.
Well, what is your concept of God now?
Pure love, I would say. It's just pure love and a light that is, oh my gosh, the radiance of this light is, again, whenever we try to express anything that means God, we are so short in words because it's so difficult to get it inside of our left side of the brain in order to express either an analysis or a definition. It's kind of impossible, but it just gives me such joy that I often cry and cry out of pure love, out of pure joy, pure gratitude. That is maybe the only thing I can say to express it.
Mm-hmm. What do you believe God's? What do you believe God's hope is for all of His children? I mean, I shudder to use the masculine pronoun for God, because for a lot of women that's a problem. The church I belong to now speaks in terms of mother, father, God. But,
right.
You know, old habits die hard, so, you know, I think of God the Father first and foremost. Yeah.
I totally understand. And I know that it's very difficult, because sometimes we have to go to the pronoun it in order not to put any kind of gender. But in Spanish, for example, that would be very difficult for us to do. We have to choose either he or she. But I think that the concept that I have right now about God, it goes beyond that. It goes way beyond that. And what I feel God or the divinity wants from me is to accept that love and to be joyful, because that is the biggest gift that it has given
mm-hmm.
us. Love and freedom, no judgment, just love
mm-hmm.
and freedom to express itself through ourselves. In other words, God would love to love the world through us, and would love to love us through the world. So
mm-hmm.
it becomes like a full circle both ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe that all God wants for us is pure joy. And all of the love that we could possibly hold in our hearts until it's overflowing. And, you know, it's like that part of the 23rd Psalm that talks about my cup overflows. God always is providing for us an abundance that just spills over and radiates out through our lives and touches others in so many different ways. And I think it's so important to focus on our blessings and to become grateful and to express gratitude as we go through our days, to remain aware of the blessings. And then that seems to beget more blessings. What do you think about that?
Oh, absolutely. And the good thing is that God is so infinitely loving that even those things that don't seem to be a blessing, rather kind of a challenge, even those things can be turned into blessings, because at the end of the day we realize that we are given the potential to see also the other side of the coin and to turn those challenges into a growth, real growth opportunity, like people say, and sometimes we tend to repeat those kinds of terms, but it's the truth. We can really turn those challenges into some kind of growth spurt that would make us feel much more joyful. So I am very intentional in the kind of words that I use in terms of my asking for blessings, and I say, okay, I do want growth in a harmonious way. So in that case, I ask for blessings that I can really stand, that I can really embrace, and I can really use for my benefit, as opposed to feel overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that you hit on something very important, and that is the power of word, which comes from thought. And I think it's so important, my belief is it's so important to remain positive and to remain
mm-hmm.
grateful and open to blessings
right.
and to not put any limits on God, because God is all-powerful and can accomplish things beyond our wildest dreams. So when we pray, I think it's important to just leave the outcome to God and not specify what it is that we want. What do you think
right.
about that?
I believe that we do, we are the only ones who can either allow that blessing into our lives, or we block it. That is absolutely true. So you are absolutely right in all of that. I agree with you. And I also think that the words that we express to Spirit or to the Divinity or God, however we want to call it, is just to say what our preferences are. Preferences are at the moment with the data that we know right now, but we're
yes.
always open for expansion and to see things that we didn't see before. And I know that the blessings are just endless. So we just express this, but always give it to spirit with detachment to the outcome. You know best. We say that, so let it be. Let it flow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you're involved with what is called the New Thought Movement. I wondered if you could describe what that is and what parameters that takes into account, because it's more than any one particular belief system.
Yes, I became involved with the New Thought Movement first through the Unity Church. I used to be the music director when it was back in 2003. And so I started to learn about other groups and other movements that were based on an experience that was not limiting, got into a certain pattern, like what we were talking, the traditional figure that we used to learn about. So suddenly it started to show us that we have much more things in common than reasons to be divided about. And so I started to focus myself on those things and understanding that I'm nobody to be judging anybody else's faith or point of view or decisions that they make. Every single person has a different experience of the same spirit according to whatever they want to live. So for me, the New Thought is not only in the spiritual movement, but it is also in the kind of education that we are receiving nowadays, that we see the tendency of saying, teach your children not a specific set of rules, but teach them how to make their own decisions, how to investigate, how to find out for themselves, as opposed to being told what to do and what to think and what to say. So it is part of the same wave of the universal movement of saying, listen, you are the creator of your own experience.
Now, doesn't it also include Christian Science and Science of the Mind, New Thoughts?
Yes. I believe that very much so, because I think that even though it is based on the teachings of Jesus, which are so powerful, I love them. It is with a different interpretation, much more separated from the cultural background that it probably has because of the time when the Bible was written down and all of that. It is going beyond the form. I think that everything that has to do with the form is analyzed by the left side of the brain, but anything that is taken or understood with the right side of the brain, it goes beyond those limitations and those rules, and it is taken from the heart, from the mind, the infinite mind, if you will.
Well, I've shared with the listeners before that I am a member of Unity Church, and one of the things A couple of the things that I really like about Unity are the fact that they believe that God is everywhere present, including within us, so that in essence we are all a part of God, that we're all God expressing. We are how God gets around, and how important it is to recognize the divinity within each other. And the other thing is they focus on practical application of the teachings of Jesus, so that we're not just talking the talk, but that we are walking it as well. And that's a real challenge, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it is. But because of the same reason, I think that we have been forced to be in the linear thinking much more often than in the creative and spiritual or emotional part of our lives. And it's because of a survival mode, but the survival became also an obsession from the people to be living a more fulfilling physical experience than the way that it could be if we also allowed our spiritual side to take place in our daily lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did you happen to become interested in the New Thought movement?
Well, like I said, when at the end of 2002 that I have that catharsis and something died inside of me, and I started to be born again, literally. Some people started to be attracted into my life experience, as well as some books and some thoughts and some movies and some things. Mind you, by that time, The Secret had not been released. It was released in 2004. But before that, during that year, I was just being immersed in this kind of new life in which 2003 received me with my mom's death, my dad's death, my dog's death. I stopped I stopped being in the same kind of spiritual pattern. I stopped working for other companies and I started my own. And so it was a lot of little deaths and big deaths. And I had to have a huge mourning process, but at the same time I learned this is the most wonderful gift. I also got divorced in the same year, by the way.
God, what a year.
It was a year of my rebirth, like I said, because definitely whenever I understood that the true freedom is detachment from any outcome or any person, anything outside of me, I was even ready to die physically if I had to. But instead of that, I started to, like, my whole brain was reprogrammed, and I started to see life in such a different way that I feel it was probably the best year of my life because of that beginning that was so powerful. And so, like I said, a lot of people started to show up in my life, and I embraced everything, like saying, huh, there's a message in here, huh, there's a message in there. And my own communication with my inner being started to happen very strongly. So everything was, I was in another body. I was in another planet, in another universe. And everything began from there.
Well, you know, you mentioned the word detachment. And I think that is so important for people to examine and to understand what it's about. Anthony DeMello, who's one of my favorite spiritual authors, a Jesuit who grew up in India, and was a mystic, talked about detachment. And the premise is that there is nothing outside of yourself, persons, places, or things, that can replace the joy of spirit or the joy of God. And so if we can let go of the external, and Jesus talked about this too, if we can let go of the external, all the trappings, all the physical things, manifestations, and get in touch with spirit, then we will know true love. We will know true joy. And, you know, also the 12-step program Al-Anon talks about detachment, detachment from the alcoholic, if you will, and to not judge the alcoholic, to love them, sometimes to practice tough love and set limits. But it's all about letting go, ultimately.
Right. I totally agree. And I love the fact that you also mentioned Anthony DeMello because, I was really marked by one of his little writings. And I don't know if in English the title of the book would be something like The Prayer of the Frog or something like that, because that's the way we call it in Spanish, La Oración de la Rana. And what it was is basically like very short stories that were very uplifting, very enlightened. And one of them spoke about detachment in this way. It's a short story, and it was basically there was a person who asked God to be a person that made a difference in the lives of the others. He wanted to do something important. He wanted that to be his mission. But he asked God, I don't want to know how I do this because I don't want basically my vanity to take the place, you know, the seat, the front seat. And so he didn't know it, but the way that God gave him this special gift was through his shadow. everywhere he was walking by, his shadow touched people and they were healed. But he never knew because the shadow was behind him. So he was walking ahead and the shadow was doing the work. So he knew that he was not going to take credit for that, but the mission was being achieved. So that is very important to understand, that if we get detached from the outcome of our own work, then we are not looking for applause. We are not looking to just manufacture this image that the other people would perceive of ourselves. But instead, we have the honest intention, I want to make a difference in the world, and it doesn't matter if I receive any credit for that or not.
Right. Well, I would encourage anybody who's looking for something that's uplifting and inspiring and mind-opening to read some of the works of Anthony DeMello. And one of his shortest, sweetest books is his last book of meditations called The Way to Love. It's the best $7 I've ever spent. So he has several books out there, Wellsprings. I forget the names of the other ones. It doesn't matter. Just Google it. Go to Amazon.com and put his name in there. So let's take a break and listen to one of your songs, of which you've written many. Let's listen to the song, I'm Flowing.
Okay, perfect.
Passing by this lifetime, I'm leaving my footprint, sharing joy and laughter with firm pace and goodness. Through the woods and prairies, creeks and open spaces, I'm cheering up the weary, which light up sparks and faces. I'm flowing so easily and peacefully. I am moving forward, the goal is to enjoy.
If you smile and it's contagious, it's a kind of gift that
And that was Alba Molina singing I'm Flowing. Now, Alba, before I forget, where can people who are interested in your music purchase it?
Sure. Thank you very much, David. Well, they can get it through CD Baby, which is also, the link is in my webpage, which is www.am-int.com. am-int.com.
Thank you so much. What about Amazon.com? Is it available there?
Yes, the people from City Baby have been, distributing my music through, iTunes, Amazon, Rhapsody, all of those. So, yes, they can get them through that. Well, perhaps it's easier or more directly this way because they can go exactly where they want to go. But, sure, in all of those are available.
Okay, and Alba's name is spelled A-L-B-A. Molina is M like Mary, O-L-I-N like Nancy A. Alba Molina. So, Alba, when and how did you begin to make music?
Well, I've been involved in music all my life, like you said. The thing is that whenever I started with this process, I started to see that perhaps I was not using my skills as a composer as much as I could have, and suddenly I started to see that some songs were just being, in my heart, were being placed in my heart, and I thought that it was just for me, but I started to see that there was a whole production that came as a preparing the ground, let's say. It was a lot of introspection, a lot of releasing, a lot of surrendering, and to be connected to the source. And then the next production that started to come right after that one was a production of action. Now that the soil is prepared, it is ready to go for action. And so I'm Flowing is the name of this second production in the ones that I'm just mentioning. So I saw that the songs were not only for myself, because whenever I was singing them, sometimes there were some people crying in the audience because it touched them and it spoke to them. So I said, okay, well, I definitely have to put them available to the people. So I started to use them in my lectures and in my workshops, intertwining them with a message. And that's the way I think that it was meant to be, without me knowing it, with my brain.
Now, why is music so important to you, and why do you think it's important to other people?
Well, I believe that medicine has discovered that music has a very important role in this. Everything is energy, as we know, and music, for some reason, goes and activates that part of the brain of each person that makes any message of love being permeable to them. And I hope I'm saying that word right. Is that correct in English to say permeable?
That is, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So I think that music really connects the person to the healing process. It puts them in such a different frequency in order to receive whatever's supposed to be given to them. And when I talk in my messages, the message that is spoken goes to the analytical part of the brain, but the music touches the other side of the brain, so it's a way to intertwine both hemispheres, and so it is easier to embody the message that is being conveyed. So I think it's very healing, and it also really raises the vibration in any moment. If I feel kind of down or even lazy or something like that, I just play some music that is uplifting, and immediately I am like in a party. So I start moving and dancing and singing to it, and so I think it's very powerful.
Well, I think you've just pointed out another important word, and that is vibration. We live in a vibrational universe, and
yes,
everybody is vibrating at different levels, and this is why it's so important to stay positive, because there's a law of attraction that's going on, and when you're vibrating,
definitely,
in a place of joy, you're going to attract more of that into your experience. And when you're vibrating in a place that's not so positive, you're going to attract more of that to yourself. So who would want that instead of joy?
Yes, absolutely right. And so, Yes, that is why also one of the songs in the production is called The Power of Joy. If we understand that the solutions are placed in a higher vibration, never in the vibration where the problems were created, like Einstein said. So if we raise our vibration, we will be able to notice those solutions, those answers, those possibilities. But if we keep on being down, if we allow ourselves to remain in a lower vibration, we will only see other reasons to keep on complaining and to feel less than. That is not the way to live, in my perception.
No, it's not not conducive to a positive experience. So tell me, what inspires you to write your music?
I spend a lot of time in my day connecting with my inner being, whether through meditation or through, speaking. And the best way for me to speak is writing. I take my keyboard of the laptop, and I start even saying things that I want to know about or things that are bothering me in that moment, or just, being playful and giving some comments to spirit about something, and suddenly I just be quiet and I wait for some kind of answer, and I start writing things that at first I don't know what I'm going to write about. Sometimes it comes out very poetical. Sometimes it just comes out as stanzas, and I understand, I understand the message afterwards, and then I say, this was meant to be a song. And so it's funny because whenever I say that and I start to see the potential of a song, immediately it comes with the melody in my brain. It is like the whole thing happens. And so
wow.
I just let it happen.
I wondered about that. So,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
So the message comes through first, which inspires the lyrics, and the melody just accompanies that.
It is almost simultaneously, but for me it's easier in my analytical way to see first the lyrics written down, because I can see of the rhythm in the phrases are being, easier to sing or note. But sometimes it is the other way around. There is a melody in my brain, like a production that I'm releasing right now that is for children. My gosh, I was just waking up in the middle of the night, and there was a melody sounding in my head. So I took my cell phone, and I started to blah, la, 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 the melody, whatever it was. And then the next day, I started to see that melody, and the lyrics came after that. So I said, all right, I am just letting the process be free to express itself as it should be. And sometimes the messages come in English, and it's interesting because it's not my first language. So the one that, yes, and then I rewrite them in the other language, which is not translating but rewriting, because it has to do with the rhythm. In Spanish, we have so much more syllables to one word as opposed to English, that most of them are monosyllables. So it is a challenge, but it's a fun process, and it is also a way for me to allow spirit being expressed through me in the way that they desire.
And it sounds like it's how you remain connected to your joy.
Oh, yes, and gratitude, like you mentioned.
Now, what relevant life events have defined your path?
Well, the ones that I mentioned in 2003 that were a lot of closures of all kinds, and basically to be willing to start over from there. That was very powerful. But basically I've noticed, especially after that 5 years later there was a huge thing again, and then 5 years later, more or less, five, six, it could be just a little bit more or less, doesn't matter. But I started to just go to different parts of the states, to places of the new thought, and to some spiritual centers to share my message and my music, and I saw that it was pretty well accepted, and I was very happy with that. And then suddenly I moved to California. Different reasons took me there. And suddenly I found myself that I was adrift. And I started to say, okay, well, I'm in the middle of studying my career of neurolinguistic programming, being a holistic life coach. I haven't finished. And, okay, what am I going to do? I have no money. I had to start over again several times. And then there was a place that was willing to support me for the work visa, and in the process I was just, you know, exiting the word as the law said, and whenever I came to Costa Rica and went back there, I was deported. So suddenly I said, okay, well, I cannot go and pick up my stuff either. And I said, okay, well, my crime was that I worked in the middle of the process of the visa. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So just the same, even though it could have been a very traumatic experience, I understood, okay, there's a blessing hidden here. I am going to go with it. I am going to accept whatever is supposed to be done. And I started over again, trusting what Spirit had for me. And Spirit actually told me, I couldn't sleep, of course, in that day that everything happened. In fact, I had to sleep in jail because they have to keep the people in some place before the plane leaves to the country. So while I was in jail, I said, okay, what happened? Why didn't you protect me? Why didn't you just warn me or something? And I heard in my heart the message, whatever you're going to have from now on is way better than what you could have ever had in your life. And I said, but I liked my life. And they said, trust. And it came with such a peace in my heart that I cannot express, and I was content. I was trusting. And David, it has been fulfilling to the letter. Everything has been so wonderful since I came back. All the opportunities, the ways that Spirit showed me its love, even through material things or through beautiful homes and all of that. And I didn't know how I was going to pay for any of those things. It was gift after gift after gift. It was so much love that it's difficult for me to express in just one interview. But those are some of the topics of why I chose to write some of the books that I'm writing, and also my lectures and all of that have to do with some of those experiences.
Well, our own life experiences provide the fodder for what we can share with others, and we have amazing experiences, and it's wonderful to share and testify to God's grace in our lives. Now, I understand you do spiritual counseling. How did you get involved in that, and what is involved with that?
All right. Before this trip or anything, in the beginning of my transformational world in this last decade, I had a radio program called Good News. It was in Spanish. And it was transmitted inside of another program from a lady who is well-known in Costa Rica. And so we were having the little video clip, and then she was interviewing me after the clip, she was interviewing me. And some people were, you know, asking questions on the phone. And so they started to ask me for my information to continue having some counseling. And so my life coaching began like that. First of all, just intuitively allowing Spirit to speak through me. And so I started to counsel some people after the radio program. But then I said, I don't feel comfortable because my left side of the brain tells me you need some kind of certification to do this. And so I was really interested in having the neurolinguistic programming anyway. So when I was in California, I did that. So I was able to shut down my left brain trying to judge me, you know. And so I started to see that even though I had all these different techniques from the studies that I had, my message came out differently from what I planned. In other words, I was not meant to be a person that follows the rules, but I was meant to... I'm kind of afraid to use the word channel because it has a lot of connotation nowadays, but actually that's what it was. I was channeling the message that Spirit wanted to give the other people in that moment. So the funny thing is that I was being the one who learned from the message you know, first of all. And the other person was also receiving the uplifting message, but we both were benefited by that. So I said, okay, well I just want to allow myself.
It's interesting that you use the word channel and how some people might be uncomfortable with that, but in essence, we're all channels. We're all instruments of God. And when we tune into the divine within and that intuitive knowing, then all knowledge is ours to impart. And now, also, speaking of energy passing through you, you practice Reiki, is that correct?
I do, yes. I took Reiki 1 and 2.
Now, do you feel that's a form of channeling, and how does the energy pass through you?
Okay, at first, when I started the Reiki, I was expecting to feel something weird going on through my hands. And sometimes I feel the warmth, sometimes I don't. But I stopped using it because of that. And suddenly, not too long ago, probably in the last year, I found myself in situations in which I felt guided to use my Reiki again. And I started to put my hands on some people, and I started to see some results. The people were expressing to myself things that they felt and things that were changed, and also to help some people in their transition to the other expression of life, the eternal life. And I started to see, well, it's not for me to judge if it has to do something specifically. I'm just going to be available for, you know, if spirit wants to use me in that way. And actually it has been doing that. So, and probably it won't do it all the time. You know, it's not something that I can control. I just put myself available out there.
Now, what are your current spiritual practices?
Meditation, that's definitely. I use transcendental meditation with my own mantra. And I also use other kinds of meditation, like contemplation. That is something that really moves me deeply. One of the things that I've been doing as using the neurolinguistic programming, I did some kind of a self-hypnosis tape, some kind of meditation that is for reprogramming the left side of the brain especially, and to remind my connection with spirit. So whenever we do that over a period of, I don't know, like 90 days, we can see a shift happening inside of our brain. And so we start to see and to perceive things outside of us in a much more powerful and deep way. And so the contemplation starts to make me pour tears of joy, just like a huge amount of love. That's all I can say about that. But I also do the writing to spirit and, you know, connect in that regard as well. So I do not attend a temple, if you will, currently. However, I try to get together with people just for the pleasure of connecting into the spiritual frequency and, you know, allowing love to be expressed either through songs, the talk, or to listening to one another and trying to use very positive language in whatever we say in order to affirm positive things in our lives.
Well, you know, I think it's so important for people to realize that you don't need to go to church or practice a religion to be spiritual. Church is wherever you're at, and it's much richer when you share that experience with somebody else.
I agree, totally.
Now, you had a real faith crisis back in 2002. What would you say to somebody who's going through one now?
Well, I believe that you might be ready for a change. I mean, you are right now, because we know that we create our reality. So whenever we start having crisis, maybe the resistance is coming down, and we are ready to receive really what is going to transform our lives into what it was meant to be from the beginning. So not to resist the crisis, but to understand that everything and everyone is a messenger of light and love. If we embrace that message as opposed to resist it, then the messenger will disappear because the message has been delivered. And so not to resist it, to never judge ourselves or oneself, not to be, you know, that judgmental of how could I allow this to happen? Why did I have this in my life? Instead of doing all of those things, to say, well, thank you so much for showing up in my life. Now tell me, what is it that I have to understand through this, or what is it that you want to tell me? And to be very quiet, very loving, no judgment, and then the message will flourish in your heart, and you will understand, oh, so that's why this happened. Thank you so very much. And then we act upon that. That's why the song I'm Flowing that we just listened to, it says so easily and peacefully, because we cannot force the good or the bad. We should just understand that if we are surrendering to the guidance within us, then we don't have to feel like we're pushing anything upstream, like Abraham Hicks says. We're just allowing it to happen, and then we understand that everything is in joyful blessing.
Well, I encourage anybody who wants something that is very uplifting and that will open them to positive vibrations and understanding the art of allowing to visit Esther Hicks, who channels Abraham. Very interesting, and you need to have an open mind, but there's a lot of wonderful food for thought, and I resonate with every single thing that she says. Now, I just have a couple more questions, and then we're going to need to wrap it up so we can play the song that your daughter sings. Can you tell me what your vision for yourself is and what your mission is, briefly?
Thank you. Well, I try to say it like this. My mission is to become a mirror so that the others can find their greatness. In other words, I want to reflect the best version of everybody else's. So I just want to be a mirror in the world. So I don't want to plan a lot for the future, because then I would be limiting spirit.
And what is your vision?
My vision is to be connected to my freedom, my joy, and my growth, all surrounding the unconditional love that is my essence.
Beautiful. And what's your vision for all of God's children?
Well, to have the freedom to choose in their lives what is their greatness as well, to be able to see their true beauty, their true essence.
Beautiful. Well, let's listen to the song that Alba has composed called Sharing Your Dreams. Is that correct?
Yes. If I may say very quickly, this is a song from a children operetta that I wrote when my daughter was 8 years old. Now she's a grown-up. And the reason why I put it there is because it's the centerpiece of that operetta. It is a self-esteem message to understand that we do have everything that we need is already inside us.
And what is your daughter's name who sings the song?
Yes, her name is Adriana. Adrian Munoz is the last name, because we in Spanish we use the father's name, the father's last name.
Okay. Okay, well, let's listen to Sharing Your Dreams by Alba Molina.
Thank you very much.
If I could see in your mind and reach in your heart, if I could go beyond the barriers of your dreams, I would find a world of wonderful emotions and enjoy all the scenes sharing your dreams. Every time we close our eyes for just a moment, imagination likes to take us to the future. Then we look like all the heroes we try to follow. Different places and adventures, feelings of joy. These emotions that we live in daydreams could really happen. You just have to know. You must leave all the doubts and grab the dreams you keep in your heart. And don't stop working until they all do come true. Tomorrow, wipe the tears and place a smile upon your face, and a new light will shine right from your heart. Soon the dreams will revive and hopes come alive, just like the ones you had in all those other moments. And you'll find that all those challenges are not problems, 'cause you'll find the answers and solutions in you. Together and remember, you have the courage and strength to go on. Just by trusting yourself, what kind of issues you can defeat, and new potential you'll find in you. Listen to the voice in you, feel it hidden in your heart.
Alba Molina's composition, and her daughter Adrienne sang that, and it is available if you go to Amazon.com. And also, what is the other place?
CD Baby, or through
CD
my
Baby.
Website. Mm-hmm. Or through my website.
Okay. Well, thank you, Alba, for being my guest today. It's been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, David. It has been my pleasure.
Okay, well, you take good care.
Thank you.
So once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing of separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who are having a spiritual experience. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.
You have been listening to Different Strokes for Different Folks. To find common ground and take it to the next level, here on Blog Talk Radio with David Clark, every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to this broadcast again on srbroadcasting.com.